let you know what I'm doing. We passed out a, it's children's church time too. Didn't see Tim and Brenda in here. I thought they might have had them downstairs already. But I passed out a little packet of sheets to you that if you didn't get one, we've got a few more up here. And I'm also going to have these on daily on Facebook this week. But it's a series of devotions for this week that go along with the sermon. And we're starting a series today in the book of Galatians. And I'm not sure exactly how long that's going to be, but I want to be able to do this each week. And today we're going to be talking about the one God and one gospel as we look at this message. But the first, tomorrow's study is just what is the gospel? And these things are not very in-depth, not very long, but they too, a lot of people ask the question, why can there only be one gospel? Why can't there be other ways to God? Day three, knowing the truth when you hear it. And day four, about your testimony. And then day five is preparing for next week's sermon. It'll be the following week's sermon. Gabe will be preaching this Sunday, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be any day we're having children as part of the service, it's going to be an interesting Sunday. Okay, that's a good way to put it, I think, maybe. It's going to be fun, whatever it is. We're going to have a good time. And we're going to be able to worship God. And you're going to be able to see what God is doing in the lives of His of these children. But take these devotions home and read them. Go through them. One thing that I want to be able to do is help you grow in Christ. And the easiest way that I see to do that, where I have the largest crowd, is on Sunday mornings. So this devotion, if you take this home and go through this through the week, you're going to be getting a lot of what we talk about today, reviewing a lot of that, and also looking forward to next Sunday. So I encourage you to, as strongly as I can, to take those and do these. If they're terrible, throw them away. That's okay. But try them and see what God does in that. That's not about the writing of the devotion, but the scripture you'll be studying as you do that. So we're going to begin today in Galatians 1. And I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer. We'll read the entire chapter. But I want to open us in prayer to begin with this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that we get to study in it. And Lord, I pray as we open this up today that you speak into our hearts, into our lives. Father, not just what we consider a Christian life, but our daily life, every day, Father, the way that you work and the way that you want to move in us. Father, bless this time and bless your people for being here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, begin reading with me there in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from man or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a moment. I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to go through the rest of the chapter today. But I wanted to stop right there because there's some very strong statements that Paul makes in these first five verses. Things I want us to take a look at, and I want you to have the background of what was going on in this region of Galatia. And so, if you'll go to that first slide, Tom, there's, as I said, a strong opening here. And what is happening is Paul has gone to these churches, and you read about them in his first missionary journey, Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. These were churches in the region of Galatia. And there were northern churches that he preached in that region. And he's gone through there, preached the gospel. In some of these cities, he was he was treated very badly, and in one of them he was actually stoned and left to die. But he came back through these cities, and he strengthened the churches and gave them the gospel and gave them the true teachings about Christ, and that salvation and our Christian life is by grace through faith in Jesus. The only way that we can come to Him is by the grace of God that allows us to put our faith in Christ. And the grace of God that Christ came and did this work that will save us. Well, as He left these churches and came back through, He went to other places, but there were some in Jerusalem that didn't like what Paul was teaching. And what they believed is that the gospel, that Jesus was a Jewish Messiah, which He is, but that the gospel was really only for the Jews. They had believed that only the Jews could know God, and that every now and then there could be a Gentile proselyte that would come in and in all practical ways become Jewish. But now they're saying, well, the church is saying the gospel is there. These churches that are Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit, but they need to be Jewish. And so they were traveling around behind Paul, and they were teaching that these churches, these believers in Christ, had to now keep all the feasts and festivals that were in the Old Testament. They had to the dietary restrictions. They had to eat kosher, basically. They had to stop eating all the things they had always eaten. And they had to be circumcised. And everything else that went along with being Jewish, that if you are going to be a believer in Christ, a follower in Christ, you had to do these things. And Paul has heard about this. And Paul is not writing, he's not a happy camper when he's writing. Because these guys are believing this. And Paul's saying, look, you'll see as we go through here, I taught you better than that. I taught you the gospel and you know the truth. But they're beginning to turn away. So Paul is writing in a very strong way. That first verse, Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God our Father who raised him from the dead and all the brothers who are with me. The quickest way to attack Paul's doctrine was to attack Paul. So they were saying, well, he's not one of the original 12. He might call himself an apostle, but he's not. You know, he's not one of the 12 that were with Jesus all the time. And Paul's doctrine is really, you know, it's not all that good. He's been sent by some that want to deceive you. So Paul's starting off saying, nobody sent me but Jesus. Jesus called me. Jesus set me aside as an apostle. And I'm not here on anybody else's behalf. When we come into a church like this, it is true to be able to say, I'm not here as a representative of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention represents our church. That's the way that works. We are the ones in charge of what goes on there. I'm not here representing somebody else or somebody's doctrine. I'm here to preach what God has written in His Word. And Paul's saying that very same thing to them. Here's the truth. You're hearing lies about me, but here's the truth. The next strong statement he makes may not sound very strong, but he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that everything that we have in our walk with Christ, everything we have in relation to Jesus, everything that's promised to us is by God's grace. When Paul says grace to you, he's not saying, I hope you have a really sweet, nice day. He said, I hope you are filled with everything that God has for you. I want God's grace at work in your life. The Sunday school lesson this morning about integrity, that first section of it talking about not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but talking about just the way that we treat people. We need to treat people in a way, and I can be guilty of this, and everybody can be guilty of it, I think. Maybe we talked about Miss Eleanor, maybe not her. I've never heard her say a cross word to anybody, but most all of us can be guilty of not being that easy to get along with, can't we? That's not the godly way, is it? God says to you know, this grace, what I'm trying to say here, this grace is supposed to just flow out of us and fill everything in us. It's an amazing gift that God's given us. God our Father, grace, and if we have that grace of God, we have peace with God. And we're right with Him. But listen, the biggest thing He says here is the purpose of the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Why did Christ come? He came to rescue us from this present evil age. He came to rescue you from this present evil age. Paul was talking about the age that he lived in. But the way the Scripture works is what Paul wrote to the church in Galatia applies to the church here in Gratis. And so Gratis lives in a present evil age, and the gospel of Christ is here, and Jesus came to rescue each one of us from this present evil age that we live in. Say, well, it's not that evil. Have you watched the news this week? Shooting in a school. Wars around the world, problems everywhere, someone trying to do good, trying to do the right thing, and they're maligned and torn down, and somebody that's doing the wrong things all the way around are lifted up and made to look good. It's an evil world that we live in. It's a good world. It's a good place to be. There's a lot of good in it, but there's a lot of evil in it as well. Christ came to rescue us, to change us, to make us different so that we can live in this world. But we can live above this world, above the evil that's in this world. Do you understand that? These are some strong statements, and we're going to deal with them as we go through the rest of this book. But pick up with me again in verse 6. He's not speaking any softer. He says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from Him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And Paul goes into his testimony here in verse 11. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me so that I could preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas. And I stayed with him 15 days. That's Peter. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declared in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, and listen to this verse, they simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted the church now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. The life of a believer is to be lived so that you will glorify God because of the work he's doing in you. You understand that? That's why we're not to be secret agent Christians. We're not to be silent. We're to be people who are living this faith out. But Paul goes on, as I said, that works well. I turned this thing on this week, and it works well. This next slide there's one God and one gospel. That's the title of the sermon this morning, One God and One Gospel. But Paul says here in verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. You see that turning away from the gospel is turning away from Jesus. Turning away from what the Bible teaches. Turning away from the way of salvation that God and only through Christ has given us is turning away from Jesus himself. It's not something that you can say, well, we can agree to disagree, or I just believe a little bit differently than you do. No, that's not it. When you turn away from the gospel, there is one gospel. When you turn away from that one gospel, you are turning away from Jesus himself. Paul's teaching was revealed by God and is consistent with the rest of the Bible. So there's one God. Look at that second point there. There's one God who has revealed himself. And he's given one way to him. God has made himself known. God has revealed himself to us. There is the idea that many people have that I can find God. And you hear that in many churches today. I want to be able to find God. Well, God's right here. And he has revealed himself to you. You come to him and listen to what he says. The problem we have a lot of times is I don't like what God said. So I'm going to try to find something else. We're going to ignore that, but I'm still trying to find God. No, God has revealed himself to us, and God, he's given us this one way to him. There are a lot of people that, well, John 1:18, to reiterate that, no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. And think about how God defines himself. He reveals himself. There were a lot of false teachings in this day, and this was maybe one of the first heresies that was hitting the church, that you had to become Jewish in order to be a believer. Paul's saying, absolutely not. And if you read the first half of the second chapter, it talks about Paul going to Jerusalem and talking with the apostles and them agreeing, absolutely not. There's only one way to Christ, and that's by grace through faith. And so they sent him out as a missionary to the Gentiles, and Peter is one to the Jewish people. And there was tremendous work that was done. But there were other heresies that, when you read the writings of John, they're about 30 to 40 years after what Paul wrote. And there was another group of people there that were called Gnostics. And they were teaching that they had a special knowledge of God. It was a little different than what you've got. You've got the Bible, and that's great, but everybody's got the Bible, but what I've got is a little different. It's greater than the Bible. And if you know God like I do, then you can have that same kind of knowledge. But you also had somebody popping up over here saying, well, I'm the same as him, but my knowledge of God's a little different than his, and so I'm better than him. And it was leading people away from Christ. But have you ever heard the saying, I think I've got it written down here, that what is old is new again? Back in the 90s, it became very prominent, very popular, maybe not by this name, but it was called the New Age Movement. And what that is, it was led by people like Shirley MacLaine, this kind of way off out there in left field. But what this teaching was you are God. You individually, you are God. I'm God. Kind of the same thing the Gnostics were teaching. I'm God. I have this special relationship with him. I can define my own reality. And you'll hear a phrase today that I can't stand to hear, but this is my truth. No, truth is truth. It's not for you and it's not for anybody else individually. Truth, what is true is true. It doesn't matter what I think about it or what I like about it. Now, here's my situation, but what is true is still true. That teaching is impacting a lot of what the parents of a lot of the college-age kids today that are protesting at these major universities, protesting Israel, protesting all these things that are protesting and have no idea why they're protesting, came out of that teaching, but that came out of the first century. Same heresies are out there, the same teachings. And in fact, what was being taught there in Paul's day in these Galatian churches is being taught again today. There's something called the Hebraic Roots Church or Hebraic Roots Movement, a Hebrew Roots Movement. Now, there is Messianic Jews. These are Jewish people who have come to faith in Christ. And they worship Christ through a lot of these Old Testament, not sacrifices, but the festivals, the Passover. They can worship Christ and they see Jesus in the Passover. And they see him in these other festivals that God had laid out, and they use those to worship Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. And we can do the same thing with those. That's a great thing. But this idea of the Hebraic roots really stems from the idea that while the New Testament, and I'm doing a lot of teaching today, so hang in there with me. I'm getting to a point. But the New Testament was written in the Greek language. The Gospels were written originally in the Greek language. All of Paul's letters, John's letters, everything was written in that Greek language. That was because that was the language of the world at that time. Everybody could read Greek, or most everybody could read that. If we were doing this today, it would be written in English or maybe French, so that most people around the world had access to that and could read it. Well, they believed that there was a Hebrew version of it before the Greek version, and that the Greek version is somehow corrupted, and that the Bible is not exactly what it should be. And you'll hear them teach things like that only Israel is the bride of Christ. That only Israel is the real bride of Christ, and the Gentiles are grafted in. The Bible says that as the church of Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. They're distorting the scriptures for something that sounds really good. It sounds really intellectual to say that, but it's not true. There are heresies, doctrines out there today that are deadly. And the only way that we can recognize and combat false teaching today is through knowing Jesus. The only way that we can recognize and combat false teaching today is by knowing Jesus through prayer and His Word and living in the grace and peace of relationship with Him. When you know Jesus, you know the truth, because He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by knowing Him, knowing the what is true, you can recognize what is false. The Secret Service agents that deal with counterfeit money are trained not to recognize all the counterfeits that are out there, but to identify every aspect of legal currency, of a $20 bill or a $100 bill. They know every part of it, so they know that when something is off in that, this is a counterfeit. And they may have never seen it before. It may be the best counterfeit they've ever seen, but there's something off in it. And so this is not true. It's not valid. That's the truth. This is a different gospel. And Paul goes as far as to say, "I wish these people were cursed. A curse be on them." It's a strong statement, a strong word. They'd be condemned, or condemned to hell. Anathema is the word there. It's the strongest statement as Paul can make. And he's talking so passionately about this. I want you to stay true to the one God who has given us one gospel. God has revealed himself to us. And he said, I am this is the only way to me. When somebody says, don't you think that it's arrogant that you believe that you're the only ones that are right? It's not. Because it's not my teaching. I haven't made it up. I haven't been taught it by somebody else and they made it up. It came from God, the one that we're trying to get to. If somebody calls you and says, I'm in Nashville and I need you to get to me, and here's the way to get to me. And somebody else calls you impersonating that person and says, I'm in Mobile, Alabama, and I need you to get to me. So, you know, come. You know, it's changed. Come to me now. They're going to give you the wrong directions, right? Every other religion in the world, every other faith is a means of man trying to earn the favor of God. But that word favor and the word grace are the same thing. Grace has been given. Grace is not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can be good enough for. Today, I'll even hear churches say, well, you want to be saved, you need to stop drinking, stop being an alcoholic, and come to Christ. You need to stop the drug abuse and come to Christ. You need to stop the sexual immorality and come to Christ. You need to stop the gender identification stuff and come to Christ. What happens when we come to Christ is one fluid motion. We turn away from that life that we've had, and we turn to Jesus. And there are a lot of people today who say, Christians can't smoke. Well, there are a lot of Christians that smoke. Christians, if you're a Baptist in the South, Christians can't drink. But there are a lot of people that drink, a lot of Christians that drink. Look, the sins God is going to take care of. But the salvation he takes care of first. God catches us and cleans us. He's a good fisherman. He told Peter and the apostles, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He's the best one. Coming to Christ, there is nothing other than faith in the grace of God, the work of Jesus that saves us. Well, Paul gives his testimony, and I'm going to spend a very few minutes on this. We're going to pick a couple of verses out of here for you to see. But I want you to see that our testimony is the evidence of God's grace in us. And I titled this, Grace Leaves a Mark. Have you ever had something hit you and you say, that's going to leave a mark? I watched a movie, The Kingdom of Heaven. Liam Neeson and Orlando Bloom. And Liam Neeson is knighting Orlando Bloom and he gives him his oath. And he says the oath and then Liam Neeson backhands him across the face. And he said, that's to be sure you remember it. Left a mark, okay? There's no backhanding with God. But grace leaves a mark. Grace changes who you are. Grace makes you a different person. The grace of God in you does. Our testimony is the evidence of God's grace. And it's laid out in three very simple ways, three very simple categories. Every one of us, if you know Jesus, you have a testimony. If you're having trouble with your testimony, then I want you to make sure that you know Jesus. Because all three parts are essential. But it's my life before Christ. Look at what Paul said there in verse 13. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. This is who I was before I knew Jesus. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. The churches were afraid of Paul once he got saved because they thought he's trying to infiltrate the church and he's going to come in here and kill us all, throw us all in jail. But his testimony won out. And he had people like Barnabas that came along and said, no, no, Christ has changed him. Trust him. Your testimony, the first part of it, is your life before Christ. What was your life like before you knew Jesus? One of my uncles gave his testimony one night. I've told you this before, I'm sure, but he was being ordained as a deacon in a church. And I was there, and he said, I can tell you very quickly about my life before Christ. He said, it was ugly. And that's about all he said about it. But he was right. It was ugly. But Christ had saved him. All that ugly hadn't gone away. But he was under the grace of God, and God was at work in him. My life before Christ, I was 9 years old, so my life wasn't all that ugly when I was nine. But I know today, looking back, where I would be if I didn't have Christ. Your salvation experience. Verse 15 there, but when God, that's the next step, when God begins to work. But when God, he says, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Think about this, break this down with me for a moment. When God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, Paul wasn't walking with God from birth. Paul wasn't walking with God until Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, but God had set him apart before birth. God loved him, God knew him, and God set him apart just like he did you, and just like he did that person that aggravates you to death and you don't want to share the gospel with them. They were set apart by God to be saved. They may not be saved. We'll share the gospel many times and not have any results. But seeds are planted. God chose you. You were called by him. You were, the big word is, elected by him. Not that he didn't choose others, but that he chose you personally. By name. Before you were born. Before you were created. He called you to serve him. He called me by his grace and was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles. All of that is grace. All of that is God's work in us, and we simply had the good sense to say, yes, I want to follow you. But we can't even do that without the Spirit of God telling us to, without the Spirit of God leading us into that. But it's all a work of God, but it's all the grace of God and the work of Jesus. And we simply accept it and begin to live in it. Turning away from the life that we had, whatever it was, we begin to follow Jesus. And then the end of that testimony is my life, the way Jesus changed me, the difference Christ has made in my life. Look at verse 23 again. They simply kept hearing. But go back up to verse 21. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ, partly because they said, we don't want him here. We're afraid of him. They simply kept hearing. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Your life, your testimony, your day in and day out walk with Jesus should glorify God so that people look at you. If they don't know anything about Jesus, they look at you and say, whatever he's gotten into has changed him. Whatever he's done, he's different than he was last year. He's different than he was 6 months ago or even 6 years ago. He's different. She's different. We were talking about it again in Sunday school this morning. There's a difference in us that Christ makes. I went to a drive-thru Thursday. We had a meeting here at the church that ran a little longer than I wanted it to, but it was important. We needed to finish it, but I needed to get to the hospital in Athens to visit Donna Savior, and then I needed to come back by 1:30 and visit Chris and Cassie Reeves in jail, and then I had another meeting at 3, and I got in line in Athens at a drive-through, and it just sat there. Didn't move at all. And after about 5 minutes, I pulled out and went across the street to another fast food place. There was only one person in front of me. They got their food and moved up. I pulled up and just sat there. Didn't move at all. And what in the world is going on? While I was sitting there, messaged the people at the jail and said, I'm not going to make my appointment today. There's no way I can get there in time. I set it up for 11 tomorrow morning. And so they did. And the lady came and opened the window at the drive-thru. And she said, sir, what was your order? Was it this? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I'm so sorry. We've only got one cook back here. One person on the line. And we're just running so far behind. And God gave me the grace to say, that's all right, take your time. What would have happened if I chewed that lady out? And then what would happen if I had chewed her out and then she walked through the door this morning and I'm standing up here as the pastor? Everything he's saying is a bunch of bull because I know how he treated me. That's what can happen. We are to be a different people. Peter calls us a peculiar people. It's a pretty good definition, peculiar people. Somebody in Sunday school, I think, used that word for pastors. We're kind of peculiar folks, strange folks. But you've been set apart by God. One of the devotions this week, I think it'll be Thursday, the fourth day, is your testimony. And I want you to take the time this week to write that testimony out. What was your life like before you knew Jesus? How did you come to know Jesus? And what's the difference in your life now? If you can share that with somebody. This word witnessing, we may need to just take it out of our vocabulary and not call it that anymore. But your testimony is simply your story of what Christ has done in you. And when you're talking with somebody, you can share your story. The reason I say take witnessing out is because when I say that word from the pulpit, I may as well pull out a gun or something. Everybody gets scared. Everybody's, not me. No, I don't want to talk about that. You'd rather me talk about tithing than witnessing sometimes. But you're sharing your story. You're sharing what Jesus did in you. And you're telling a friend or somebody you just met, what he did in me, I know he'll do in you too. This gospel is incredibly important. We're going to talk about the defense of the gospel. We're going to talk about get deeper into the reason it's so important, what God has done in the gospel, this grace of God that's at work in our lives. I hope you'll be here and just pay attention for this study. I'm going to make sure the sermons are available. They're always available through our website. I want to be able to put a link on Facebook and a day's devotion on there every day. But I want you to do these devotions. There's more here than I can get out in 30 or 40 minutes. There's so much that you can learn and think about and God work in you through that time with Him to make this so much more clear. Today, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, that's not sure about that salvation, if you're thinking about your testimony and you're saying, yeah, I don't really remember life before Christ, but I do remember when I was saved. I told the story, it may have been, I may have told it last week. I can't remember if it was when it was. But the C.S. Lewis talked about going from being an atheist to being a believer in Christ. He said, I got in the sidecar of my brother's motorcycle, and we were taking a trip. And he said, I remember the day, but I don't remember the instant. I can't pick out an instance, but I know that when I left our house, I was not saved. When I got to our destination, I was a believer in Christ. You may not remember exactly all that, but you know there was a point in time that you came to know Christ as Savior. And you can look at your life and see the difference that He's made. If you're missing any of those three, ask God about your salvation. If today you're thinking about your testimony and you're not sure about that testimony, ask God today, am I saved? He will very quickly answer you. We're all church members. Doesn't matter. Many church members are spending eternity in hell. And many people that never walked in a church are spending eternity in heaven. Do you know Him today? Is your walk with Christ stagnant? Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, whatever it is you need to deal with Him about today, now's the time to just simply say, Lord, I'll do whatever You say. I'll be completely obedient to You. I'm turning away from the way I'm doing things, and I'm turning to You. If you'll do that today, it's not going to fix all of life's problems, but it sure is going to make your life a whole lot better. Knowing Christ changes everything. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. Any way you need to respond today. And it may be that somebody needs to come and join the church. We need you, and you need the church. So come move your membership here. Make yourself a full part of this body. Whatever it is God's laying on your heart, do that today. Father, thank You. You're a God that loves us, and a God that called us, that created us. And You knew us before we were ever thought of, before we were ever created. You knew everything about us. So, Father, right now, have Your way in us. Let's be obedient to You in whatever You're telling us today. In Your name we pray. Amen.